Well, this is number two in Who is the Word? We're in John chapter 1 and verse 2, where I left off of the first teaching. The same, referring to the revealed word, was in the beginning with God. And so verse 2 is a repetition of verse 1 to establish what has been said. And Genesis chapter 41 and verse 32 shows this establishment. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. So when something is set twice in God's word, it means that it's unchangeable. God established it, and he's not going to change, and he's going to shortly bring it to pass. So when you read verse 2 of John chapter 1, the same, referring to the revealed word, and we're learning about the revealed word, who that is, what that is, the same was in the beginning with God, arche, in the beginning, and that's before the foundations of the heaven and the earth. Yeah. And so let's continue to study the minuteness of these verses. We've got to go back to verse 1 again, because there's a lot that we haven't covered in it yet. And then let's read it, verse 1 and verse 2, and we'll continue on. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and with is the word that we're looking at now, with. With is the Greek word pros, P-R-O-S. Burn that bad boy into your brain, pros, with, P-R-O-S. The word was pros God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning, verse 2, with pros God. What does pros mean? It's used twice, verse 1 and in verse 2. It's used twice in these two verses, in verse 1 and verse 2. In the beginning was the Word, God. In the beginning was God. God in the beginning. And the revealed Word was pros God. He was with him in his foreknowledge. We know that much. But you want to know another unique characteristic that is embellished in this Greek word pros, translated with, at least right here, is translated with. It means together with, yet distinctly independent of. In the beginning was God, and the revealed word was with him, with God in his foreknowledge, yet distinctly independent of him. And the Word was God. The same, the revealed Word, verse 2, was in the arche, with, pros, with, yet distinctly independent of God. And so a literal of verse 2, the same, the written Word, which is the Bible, and the Word in the flesh, which is Jesus Christ, was in the beginning with God, in his foreknowledge, yet distinctly independent of him. There's between 12 and 15 Greek prepositions in the New Testament, and there are a lot of them that are translated into English with, but they are different than this word right here. Pros, translated with. Only pros could fit here, because it means together with and yet having distinct independence. It's intimate and close intercommunication, but it has distinct independence of the originator. The revealed word was together with God, and yet it's distinctly independent of him. And so this removes the guessing from John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, and it fits it together with even with the laws used in language, as well as harmonizing the truth with the rest of the Word of God. Sure. Distinctly independent of God. So verse 2 can literally read the same, the written word, which is the Bible, and the word in the flesh, which is Jesus Christ, was in the beginning with God in his foreknowledge. And so what I want to share is the following scriptures that I want to share. They will enable us to really more fully understand how and about God's communication to man by way of the prophets who gave us the written word. And not only that, but by his son of Jesus Christ, who was sent by God. These verses will really help with that. Let's go to Psalm 107 in verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Yes, he sent his word and his word heals. God had to send it. Why? Because he's the originator of his word. His word is as much him as he is the word. Yeah. John chapter 5 and verse 36. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. Jesus said that. He sent his word, he sent his son, and now we're starting to see and to understand about how that God had both in his foreknowledge, and he revealed his word by speaking it, then by it being written down. He revealed his son by creating seed inside of Mary, and she had Jesus. He was raised and lived. They both, the written word, or the spoken word and the written word, and both Jesus Christ, were together with God in his foreknowledge, yet distinctly independent of him. And they had a birthing point. They had a revealing point. And it's in the due process of time. It takes time for these things to happen. Sure. And they were with God in his foreknowledge from before the foundation of the earth. And we've already read that we also were with God in his foreknowledge. He chose us in him from before the foundation of the heaven and the earth, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. We also were with, yet distinctly independent of God in his ideas, in his thoughts, and those things. Oh man, is that not the greatest? John chapter 5 again, and then verse 38. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Okay, who did God send? Jesus Christ. Who also did he send? Well, he sent his word. He sent his word and healed them. And they believe it not. So believing not the word, believing not Jesus Christ, same difference to God. Yeah. John chapter 17 and verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. God sent him. And now we understand what sent means. And we know the word sent is the Greek word apostello. It means to send. It means apo, away from God to man. Apo is a preposition to mean away, and then stello, to send. Yeah, apostello. We get our word apostle from it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So going back to John chapter 1 again, in verse 1, it's so beautiful how this is developing. Let's now look at in the beginning, because we've studied it a little bit, but we got to get a little more into it. In the beginning was the word. In the beginning, this is very significant, because the word beginning can be used in at least two ways. First of all, you know, you could think of like the beginning of a football game. In terms of when the game begins, the game began, the stopwatch began. You know, in that kind of a case, you'd probably say something like the players were on the field from the beginning of the game. But in a more active sense, did the game really start there? Well, what about all the preliminary events that led up to it? What about everything that had to happen so the game could be played, including learning, including building the stadium? I mean, you want to talk about in the beginning, the training of the players and everything. Sure. What about cheerleaders? Everything that goes with it. And so in the beginning can also go back to include that type of thing. And so this second usage of beginning is more along the lines of what in the beginning means in John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning. It doesn't say from the beginning, it says in the beginning. And this is another Greek word, and it's another one of those prepositions. We looked at pros and apo, remember, apostello, apostle. And now we have the word in, and it's not in, it's the Greek word is en. Sounds the same, but it means in. And if you would have used ek, that's another preposition, ek, or apo, away from, ek means from, apo means away from, and it could be out, those mean out from and away from a specific point, the time of a definite beginning, it would have been indicated then, you know, from a certain point, that's when the beginning started. But it doesn't say that. It says N or K, N or A or C-H-E or K, that's how I pronounce it. It means in or during the beginning. And because in, en, the preposition that's used here, in the beginning, John chapter 1 verse 1, in, it means in the realm of or during the beginning. That's what this word flavor is, this Greek preposition in, en. And in arche means before the heavens and the earth were created. When you say something's pretty archaic, we bastardize that down now to mean like something's really, really old. Yeah, but it's way bigger than that. It means a beginning of something way back when it first was even conceived. And that's how far back God goes. We just don't have any concept of that in our little finite minds. But suffice it to say that in arche or in the beginning, it means before the heavens and earth were created. Mm-hmm. You see, God is eternal, and God who was in the beginning, and God who is the Logos, is eternal. And what about Jesus Christ? God, that's God's communication of himself in a person. He had a beginning, but his beginning was when he was born. And yet, in the beginning, God foreknew him. He knew of Jesus Christ because God is omniscient. He knows everything. Yeah. So that's God's foreknowledge. Jesus Christ was in the beginning there, but he had a beginning, like the beginning of the football game, when he was born. Sure. And this word, word, in the beginning was the word. It's Logos, which we've talked about before, but it's, there's a little word in front of it, the article, the word. It's like the Logos, and it's ho Logos, H-O. The article goes right before the word Logos, at least right here in its first usage. Ho Logos. There's another Greek word for word, rhema, which is the words in the word. It's translated rhema, and that's not used here. And it's like words which are spoken. It's not communicating. Rhema does not communicate thoughts or ideas. Logos does. So ho logos does, but rhema doesn't. Now, rhema is used in other places in the New Testament, but it's not used right here. And that's really very important to understand, especially as scripture buildup happens and we keep learning more about logos and rhema, and as you study these things in the word. But logos is just a reference only to the words which are spoken. Yeah. And the word logos here, it doesn't just mean the sound itself, but it encapsulates the thoughts and ideas that are conveyed by the word or words. And so when you have logos here in John chapter 1 and verse 1, which is referring to God in this first one, it has reference to the thoughts and ideas conveyed by the spoken word, the written words, and the incarnate word, which is Jesus Christ. That's why we've already seen those things. We've already looked them up in God's word. And so it has reference to the thoughts and ideas. So it's really a big word. Logos is big. When it says words, it's the thoughts and ideas behind the words also. Yeah. And all of this, the spoken, the written, and incarnate words, they were with God in his foreknowledge. And they did not come into existence in the senses realm. And this is important to understand. They did not come into existence in the five senses realm until God had someone with whom to communicate. He wasn't just speaking out into the air. It even says that in a word. You know, it's not like beating the air. And God's words don't fall to the ground. They go where he intends. They accomplish the purpose that he intends. They have a form. They're not without form and void. Yeah, they're not empty. So in the beginning, which is before the creation of the world, the word, the logos, was God. And this word, this logos, was with God in his foreknowledge. And it was first communicated to man by the spoken and the written word, and then later by Jesus Christ, by God's son, Jesus Christ, who's called the incarnate word. Yeah. And so the next phrase in John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, and the word was with God. So we just looked at, in the beginning was the logos. And now, and that's N-E-N, was the word, the logos. And now we're looking at, and the word, the logos, was with God. And with is pros, with yet distinctly independent of. But the word God has a definite article, and it means the God, hotheos. And the word was with, yet distinctly independent of, the God. There's only one true God who is above all and who was in the beginning. And so it just lays it out here, signifying it with this definite article that was employed in the Greek. And it brings out this distinction that he is the one true God. How cool is that? So the word, which was with God in the beginning, in his foreknowledge, and which was later spoken, written, and made incarnate, had been together with the one true God in his foreknowledge, yet distinctly independent of him. The beautiful thing about this is this final phrase in verse 1, and the word was God. You see, there's no article in the Greek with the word God here. However, the word in the beginning was the word, that's ho logos, and the word ho logos was with God, yet distinctly independent of, and then this word for God is the God, the one true God. And so we know that in the beginning, we know what that means now. We know that the word is the spoken, the written, the incarnate word, and these three were in God's foreknowledge, yet distinctly independent of him. And then the final phrase says, and the word, the logos, was God. See, God is as much his word as the word is God. And God is his word, just the same as you are your word, I'm my word, because our words are a communication of our thoughts, our feelings, and our ideas, of mine to you, you to me. And God's word is the same. His thoughts, his ideas communicated to us is his word. And when we make a statement and our word is our will, then our words are just as much a part of us as our body is. It's who we are. And it says, and the word was God. The logos was God. God is his word. And so, yes, it was in his foreknowledge, but it still is who he is. It still is part of him. It's his thoughts and ideas. And so it just so clearly lays it out. And then you have verse 2, and verse 2 says, the same was in the beginning with God. The same, or this really cool Greek word, houtos, H-O-U-T-O-S, and it's a pronoun, a demonstrative pronoun, and it usually is translated this in English. The same or this, and it refers back to the nearest associated noun, and that points out and brings emphasis to that noun. And so that's how that works. Yeah, and so the same, the revealed word, the same, this, the revealed word, was in the beginning with the God. the same. It's so cool. And the same refers back to the nearest associated noun, which is logos. The same. This. The word. The logos was in the beginning with God. And in the beginning, here in verse 2, it's the same as in verse 1 of in arche. It means in the beginning, before the creation. Look at Job 38, verse 4. Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. These are referring to the angels that were there before God made the foundations of the earth and made the earth, and they were just blown away by what God did. So you had in the beginning, God's been here in the beginning. Then he created the angels, and they watched the heavens and the earth being created. That's in the beginning. And so the in the beginning, before the creation, that's what this is referring to. So there's a lot going on. Oh, yeah. And the revealed word was in the beginning with God. And this is pros with God, tau theos. And theos is the Greek word for God. It means the mighty one, the mighty God, with the mighty God, with the God. The word was together with God in his foreknowledge, yet distinctly independent of the one true God. And so, don't you just love how God set it up here, that I am the one true God versus all others? There are no other gods before me, and before means even before the beginning. There are no other gods before him. How did God start? I mean, I can't wait to get answers to that one. Oh my gosh. Whew. And so let's, before we go on to verse 3, let me read verse 1 and verse 2 as a literal translation from everything that I've worked and studied and put together over the years, and things that I've been just keeping in written form. In the beginning, before the creation, God was the Word, and the revealed Word was in God's foreknowledge, which was later communicated to man in spoken words, written words, and the incarnate Word. This Word absolutely was in the beginning before the foundation of the world, together with the one true God in his foreknowledge, yet distinctly independent of him. Isn't that beautiful? And there you have it. Now I think we can go on to verse 3. How does that sound? All things were made by him, God, and without him, God, was not anything made that was made. Yeah. Pretty cool. Let me read it again. All things were made by him, God, and without God, was not anything made that was made. It took God, and everything was made by him. All things. We gotta look at this word all. It's a big one. It's only three letters. But all things were made by God because only he was there in the beginning. God in the beginning. Yeah. So the glory goes to God. And this usage, or this word all, it means one of two things. And I'm going to explain what they mean, what it means, and then we'll see which one of the two usages that it is. And throughout the whole New Testament, you can take the word all and the word every, the same Greek word, and put down in your Bible which one of these two that it is. Number one is all with distinction. Number two is all without exception. And so, if you would say all of the men in that group are wearing red hats, you would be all without or all with distinction, because all of the men are wearing red hats. There's women in the group too. And if you said everybody is wearing a red hat and there was men and women, it would be all without exception. Does that make sense? That's just one way to say it. Now, when you go to God's word, it blows you, it's going to blow your mind, seeing with distinction or without exception. And all things were made by God. Here, its usage is without exception, all without exception, all things without exception were made by God. And without God was not anything made that was made. Yeah. And so that's the uses of the word all, the use of the word all here. And it would take you a couple weeks to go through and mark with distinction or without exception, like W-E without exception or W-D with distinction. But it's a great word study. And these are word studies that are foundational. They need to be done. And as you do that, then so much of the word starts to take form and make sense, because now you work in the minutiae and the details of God's word. The word not anything, without God was not anything made that was made. Not anything. There's a Greek word, oudehen, O-U-D-E, and then H-E-N, like, you know, the chicken. Oudehen, it means not even one. And the latter part of this verse, it just corroborates the fact that there was not even one exception. So all things without exception were made by God. And without God was not even one thing made that was made. It took God to do it. No exception. And that verse just lays it out like doubly there. Remember, twice establishes something? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was not anything made. And so you have was, and then you have not anything, and then you have made. Was made is the Greek word engeneto. And some, you'll see the English words split up. But if you go to the Stevens Greek text, it will say something like was made, not anything. And then they have a number by it, which way that you, how you number the English words so it makes sense. It's kind of cool, but that's just nuances of languages. You know, like in Korean, the verbs are at the end of the sentence, so they'd have to put a verb at the front. They'd have to put a number one on the verb to make sure that in English that it got put in the front, kind of like that. But Greek is similar to that with its own nuances. Uh-huh. The word was made in ghetto, and it means to bring about or to come into being. There was nothing brought about or that came into being without God. God brought everything into existence. And it was a, like an aorist tense indicating the singleness of the action in Genesis. When you go to chapter 1, you see how God brought everything into existence, and he did it at one time. He actually did it in 6 days, right? He was the cause and the sole mover of everything that was created. It all came by him. Theory of evolution and all this other stuff, it's a lie. It's not true. One verse here tells you that. Yeah. Was not anything made that was made. Mm-hmm. All things were made by him. And by him, by God, this word by is another preposition, and it's the preposition dia, D-I-A. And dia means through or on account of. And it means by God, where God was the cause. On account of God, these things happened. Everything that was made. On account of. Yeah, so that's what dia means. And Greek prepositions are so cool. And that's another. It would take you, I would say, a good year to study the prepositions. And I did that when we were on one of the missionary programs where your mother and I went for a year. I studied all of the prepositions, not only then, but in 1981, when Big Dave and I went down to the coast of Harlingen to do a big wallpaper job. I was down there 6 weeks, and every day I studied more of these prepositions and how they worked in the New Testament. And I got an understanding of them that just stayed with me until this very day. It's really cool, but the prepositions, and I can send you a list of them so you can just look them up and you can just work them in. Or as you're studying parts of God's word, then you'll look at the prepositions and see if it's hupo, apo, dia, kata, any of them. You'll just see it. You'll know what they mean then. Yeah. So God brought everything into existence, the sole cause and mover of everything that was created. Yeah. And then, you know, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Verse 6, and God said, see, spoken word. It's the spoken word. He spoke it to the elements, and it happened. They responded to him. Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the water. You know, when God said, and there it was. Yeah, Ezekiel chapter 24. Remember, we're building who is the word. We're developing scope of the spoken and the written word and starting to have a humility for how big, how amazing it is and have respect for it because it tells about who God is. Ezekiel chapter 24 and verse 14. I, the Lord, have spoken it. It shall come to pass, and I will do it. I will not go back, neither will I spare, neither will I repent. According to thy ways and according to thy doing shall they judge thee, saith the Lord God. See, John chapter 1 and verse 3 again. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Made, made, made. The first two words for made here are in the aorist tense, and they also indicate that singleness of God's action. It's like a one-time thing. The third word for made, not anything made that was made. The third word, it's not in the aorist tense. It's in the perfect tense. And it refers to anything that both was made in the past which existed in the present. And it brings an emphasis to everything that has been made, forming, created. Nothing, in other words, has come into existence without God having been the creator of it, past, present, and future. Yeah. And so here we are back in John, then verse 1, 2, and 3 again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by God, and without God was not anything made that was made. And so what verse 3 is doing, it's very clearly marking the beginning of the world that we know about all things made, right? Verses 1 and 2, they mark that time which was in the beginning before the foundation of the world. In the beginning, only God and the Word in his foreknowledge and we in his foreknowledge, Jesus Christ in his foreknowledge were in existence, but they were in his foreknowledge. Verse 3. The literal verse 3, all things without exception were made by God, who was the cause of their existence. And without God, not one thing came into being that has existed or does exist presently. So let me read, I just read verse 3, let me read verse 1, 2, and 3 together now, they're literals. In the beginning, before the creation, God was the Word, and the revealed Word was in God's foreknowledge, which was later communicated to man in spoken words, written words, and the incarnate Word. This Word absolutely was in the beginning, before the foundation of the world, together with the one true God, in his foreknowledge, yet distinctly independent of him. All things without exception were made by God, who was the cause of their existence. And without God, not one thing came into being that has existed or does exist presently.